Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Lori Lightfoot is in our studio. She's running for mayor of Chicago. She's in our studio. Lori, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
I said to Lori, I'm trying to figure out how to best introduce you, but I don't have all day. So, so what should I say? Should I say former senior executive in the city of Chicago, police board president, federal prosecutor? What do you? Did I miss any others that you'd like our audience to know about that you think make you best qualified to be mayor?
Well, I think that the thing that your audience should know is that I'm a person who's got a lot of experience in helping run various big departments in the city government, whether it's police department, the 911 center that does 911, Homeland Security, dealing with emergencies, or the city's procurement department. I've been a senior executive in all those departments and have a lot of experience in how city government works. So the solutions that I'm proposing for the challenges that we face as a city are born of that experience and really listening to the lived experience of people all over the city.
A lot of articles that I read about you often mention, it says the only openly gay candidate in the crowded race for mayor on Thursday chose National Coming Out Day to lift the veil on her policy agenda, et cetera, et cetera. Is your orientation or your skin color something that helps you or hurts you, or you're going to campaign on or put to the side? What box do you put that in?
Well, it is who I am. All of the experiences, all of my, the way in which I move through the world, the way in which people react to me because of what they perceive and who I am, absolutely informs the way I look at the city and the way that I believe that I can bring solutions to the challenges that face a lot of people all across the city. So it's not just one or the other. It's an amalgam of life experiences that I think have prepared me for this moment.
We ask all the candidates, what are the biggest challenges? I mean, what's job one for the next mayor?
Well, I think what should be happening now and isn't is really having a comprehensive plan to cut down on the violence that's casting fear in way too many neighborhoods across our city. We need to start looking at the violence issue as a public health crisis. That's why I proposed a very comprehensive public safety program that puts the public health framing to it, because it helps us look at the root causes of the violence. We are now operating in a reactive law enforcement first and only posture that frankly isn't solving the problems. And people all over the city, in every neighborhood, not just on the south side or the west side, but in the north side and other areas of the city, are feeling afraid and anxious about the violence that's creeping up in every neighborhood.
That's a problem in the suburbs, too. And, you know, I was telling you off the air, I got friends in Minneapolis and family in Peoria, and some of them look at Chicago and they go, that's why I bring up the suburbs. Mm-hmm. I want them to come to this great city. I moved back into the city. And yet people that don't live here or who haven't visited here in a while are afraid mm-hmm. of Chicago.
Well, look, there's a lot of greatness to the city. We're sitting downtown looking out at the fabulous lake and the river. But we need to make sure that we are uplifting the quality of life in every neighborhood. We've spent a lot of time, particularly over the last 7 years, really emphasizing certain parts of the city and ignoring other parts. Our neighborhoods are starving for resources. We can have a city where we don't have 25% unemployment rate in neighborhood after neighborhood.
Do you put that on the mayor, the current mayor's
Absolutely.
Doorstep?
Absolutely.
He's the downtown mayor. He's the business mayor.
He's mayor 1%. Whatever you want to say, what I know is the results of his policies have expanded the gap between the haves and the have-nots. And the reality is poverty is not cheap. We're paying for that lack of investment on the front end of lives of kids and families and communities. And if we don't do something to reinvest in neighborhoods, to give people an opportunity to connect up with the legitimate economy, we're going to pay even more. We're paying because people are leaving the city. We're gutting our middle class. And for the rest of us who stay, the financial burden is going to be profound.
Hasn't Rahm done a lot to try and get more business investment in Chicago?
In the downtown area. But that
Does he control that? Would you be able to
of course.
Tell these people where to be or how to be?
You ask people to partner with you and invest in other parts of the city. If you see people and you see the need, then you go to these corporations, you go to these business people, many of whom want to be good corporate citizens, and you ask them to partner with you in investing in the neighborhoods who desperately need
good jobs.
How do you
do that? Do you give them tax breaks or some sort of incentives, infrastructure?
Well,
I don't know.
There's not one size fits all, but I think you've got to use all the tools in your toolkit to get the businesses to understand the necessity of investing all over the city. I mean, for example, we have neighborhoods all across the South and the West Sides where there's not a decent pharmacy, where they don't have a grocery store. You mean to tell me that we couldn't go to a Dominick's or a Mariano's or a Trader Joe's or some of these other grocery stores and say, partner with us and let's go to XYZ neighborhood. Let's talk about how we can build the infrastructure that you need to be successful and to make sure that your bottom line is met. But let's do that together in a partnership. I don't think those kind of conversations are happening. When we talk about, for example, Amazon, right? First of all, we still don't know what the package of incentives are to lure Amazon to our city. But any kind of company like that, that has a huge potential for investment in a city, we have to ask the question of partnership. We have to pose that question to them, and we don't do that. We just say, here you are with welcome arms. Let's give you more taxpayer dollars for incentives. But meanwhile, our neighborhoods are starving.
I worry sometimes how we give the store to these businesses that we want to come here, like an Amazon, or I don't recall exactly what the deal was for Boeing. But, you know, I want them to be here, but I also want them to pay their fair share. And how you figure that out is, I guess, the devil in the details. But I'm still not clear on how you persuade them to go to the South or West Side if they look at that area and think, why do I have to be the agent of change? I'll go to the area that's most attractive to me and my employees. And, you know, I'm not a community outreach program. I'm a private business. I love everything you said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to articulate what I think the challenge of that is.
Well, I'm very clear-eyed about the challenge, but if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
And you really actually don't think that the city has been doing that, engaging
no.
enough in the private sector?
There's no possibility that they have a comprehensive plan to bring economic development to these neighborhoods that are so resource-starved. If the city takes the lead and makes the first investment and starts building a narrative about what the possibilities are in these neighborhoods instead of just the challenges, if that was actually really a focus, we would see a very different landscape south of Roosevelt Road and west of Ashland.
What's your view on the Obama found, I want to call it library, that's not what they're calling
Presidential
it.
Center.
What do you make of that? How have they done on that?
You know, I think, look, I'm very encouraged by the fact that the neighbors in that neighborhood where the Presidential Center are going to go have pointed out a number of things that they think are absolute necessities. I want to make sure, for example, that the cost of the construction of the Presidential Center is not just falling on Chicago taxpayers, that the state and the federal government are also bearing their fair share of those expenses, because it's going to be a substantial cost to stand up that Presidential Center, close down roads, and so forth. But I think the people in those neighborhoods who are articulating a vision of what that neighborhood needs should be commended. And I believe that the Obama folks in the Presidential Center are listening, but clearly there's more work that needs to be done because all of the tensions that are there have not been resolved yet.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at the amount of tension. You would think that that kind of investment from that man and his foundation and that location, what could go wrong? But it sounds like they didn't engage the locals enough.
Well, I mean, I think that the lesson learned from that is that you can't take anything for granted. Look, President Obama is beloved in this city, and rightfully so. But we also need to know that people have very strong opinions about their neighborhoods. People love their neighborhoods. Even the most economically distressed, crime-plagued neighborhoods, people love where they are, and they want to make sure that they're heard and that they're respected. And that's one of the things that I will do to really transform city government, is be a mayor who actually listens to the people.
What do you make of the president continually bringing up Chicago as this dysfunctional, dangerous place? What would you say if you were Kanye and you were at that lunch yesterday?
Well, I'm mindful of the fact that we're on radio, so I'll choose my words carefully. Look, it's easy to be a critic, but as the saying goes, it's not the critic who counts. What counts is people here in the city who love the city, who are working hard every single day to make this a great city for everyone. That's what counts. And if Trump or Jeff Sessions or anybody else from Washington truly cared about Chicago, they'd actually come to Chicago. They'd invest in taking time to learn about the city on a block-by-block basis. They're not willing to do that. They're just standing from their higher heights, casting aspersions on people here. So, frankly, I don't give it much attention because I think what we need to do is focus on making sure that the solutions for Chicago are generated by the people that are here.
But your thoughts then about a sanctuary city are the same as the current mayor's then?
No, they're different. And they're different because I don't think that our police department should be cooperating with ICE. And that's one of the exemptions to the sanctuary city. I think we've got to close that exemption. On the basis of an ICE agent signing something and then going to the police department and trying to get a detainer or an arrest warrant, of course, we've got to comply with valid court orders, but this is a city that should truly be welcoming, and we can't be welcoming if our police department still has the ability to cooperate with ICE, particularly given how politicized Donald Trump has made ICE.
Understood, but I thought the city of Chicago is not as cooperative. That's the point of these suits. The city of Chicago is a welcoming city.
It's a welcoming
not an
city.
Arm of ICE.
It's a welcoming city with exceptions to its ordinance.
So you would make it even tighter. You would even make it more welcoming, if you will.
Absolutely.
You would almost ensure that we never get that $2 million grant from Jeff Sessions, in other words.
I don't think $2 million is worth having people all over the city feeling like they're terrorized by an arm of the federal government that Donald Trump has used as a spear to frighten immigrant communities. It's not worth that.
What do you make of frisk and catch
stop and frisk?
Stop and frisk.
It's a terrible policy. It's a terrible policy that doesn't yield the kind of results that, for example, Gary McCarthy thought it would when he unleashed stop and frisk all over the South and the West Sides. It was stopped in New York. And when it was stopped in New York, Police Superintendent Kelly said, oh, Lord, if we stop and frisk, crime is going to go through the roof. Well, guess what? Crime in New York has actually plummeted after stop and frisk was stopped by a federal judge. It's not the right policy. It's not focused on actually doing deterrence to the people who are causing the most harm in communities. It's just stop everything for the sake of stopping everything. It's a misguided policy that we can't bring back to our city.
Lori Lightfoot's in our studio. She's running for mayor. One of our texters, one of our listeners texted in and said, could you ask her about her views on medicinal marijuana? Or for that matter, I'll ask recreational marijuana. What do you think about that in general?
Well, medicinal marijuana was obviously already the law of the land in the state of Illinois, and poll after poll demonstrates that people in the city want marijuana. People in the state want marijuana to be legalized, and that's obviously a state issue. My only concerns about that is I want to make sure that we learn the lessons from other states. Colorado has had legalized marijuana for some time. Oregon's had legalized marijuana. A tale of two states. Colorado is thriving. They seem to have gotten it right. Oregon, their marijuana industry has just collapsed.
Would you be open to that, having recreational stores in Chicago if the law went that way?
Yeah, I am open to it. I support it. As long as we learn the lessons, make sure that the economic benefit actually goes to these neighborhoods who have been devastated by the war on drugs, and we do everything that we can to keep marijuana in the hands of our children.
Last thing from you, Lori, something you want to say, or maybe this, how are you going to distinguish yourself from the other candidates? There's 473 people running for
a couple busloads, right? Well, look, I think the way that I distinguish myself is by reaching out to people in every neighborhood and talking about making sure that we use equity and inclusion as the North Stars of our government, putting people first, being a mayor who listens and respects the lived experience of people all over the city, whether it's tackling violence, which we have a specific plan for, and I'd refer your listeners to our website, whether it's looking at what needs to happen with good government and making sure, frankly, that we're not giving a warmer embrace to a corrupt individual like Joe Berrios, as Tony Preckwinkle has done, or taking on the tough challenges of making sure that our municipal finances are corrected by making sure that we eliminate a lot of the waste and squandering of tax dollars and not treating taxpayers like an unending ATM machine. If you want some of the a la carte menu of the old, the tired, ward-style repolitics that frankly got us into a lot of messes that we're having to clean up now, there's a lot of candidates that you can choose from. But if you want someone who's truly independent, who's not going to be a captive of special interest, and who is going to work to put the people first and really clean up city government, then I'm your gal.
Come by our studio again. It's nice to meet you in person.
It's my pleasure.
Lori Lightfoot's running for mayor of Chicago.